Well, there were two things. One was self-inflicted. When I first had a conversation with Judith Luna, who was the commissioning editor at World's Classics, and who asked me to if I was interested in producing an edition, I said I was. What she had in mind was the single text of 1662 with an introduction and notes for a general reader. And I was very attracted to that just as a project, because no such thing existed. You could buy a copy secondhand very easily, and there were certain historical facsimile editions that are around, but there was nothing with notes in the way that an ordinary World's Classics would have for any other text like Shakespeare or Milton or whatever. So I was intrigued by that, but I also, perhaps remembering Brightman's edition, but also with my sense that for many people, Cranmer is the name, Thomas Cranmer is the name that they associate most with the book, and that's long before 1662. I felt that this was an opportunity to present more than one text. If OUP were prepared to put up with the expense and the just the practical logistical issues. And so we came up with, almost immediately, a three-text version as a kind of experiment in how to present a complex historical text that would reveal to a reader immediately, just in its format, and not in terms of appendices, which sort of somehow hide things away, to actually present as a whole three different versions of the same text. And so a book that looks as if it's a single book is actually a book that was changing all the time over 100 odd years in the most conflicted and violently difficult period in the history both of religion and politics in British history. So that part was self-inflicted. I decided I wanted to present three different texts. The other aspect of it is that so engrossing and time-consuming is something to do with the nature of religious liturgy and religious ritual. On the one hand, it presents texts in the here and now that are to be used on any, tomorrow you could perform a baptism, these are the words that you would use. But the words of any religious liturgy reach backward as far back as that religion goes. And to explain, for instance, a single line in the baptism service, well, where do you start? You start, I suppose, in some sense with the institution of the words themselves and the procedure in the Gospels, but you also have to think about how was baptism first performed in the early church? How did that relate to Jewish customs that went back before even the New Testament? How does that relate to a medieval context of a service in the, say, in the 14th or 15th centuries, just before the Book of Common Prayer was invented? And then why were aspects of that controversial right through the 17th century, and in some cases right down into the 20th century and the here and now, that the wording of prayer and ritual is something that arouses people's deepest emotions. Any tiny aspect of the text from a commentary point of view can take you into weeks of research just to get one thing right.